Happy Father's Day. We are so glad that you can join us. And I hope as you entered the auditorium today that you are able to get a gift. That's just for you to let you know that we honour you and we appreciate everything you do. You know, when we spell the word Father doesn't encapsulate everything you do. So on behalf of the church, we just want to say thank you for being in the lives, being present, whether whatever form of a father you are, mentor, role model, coach, whatever it is, we just want to honour you today. So thank you on behalf of the church. Today, all the dads will have free hospitality. We've got hot dogs and drinks for you, and free coffee.
Wow.
Who wants caffeine?
Yeah, right now.
Caffeine. So that's good. And we also have raffles at the end. Renee also suggested that if you have this little bit of time, we're going to draw that at the end of the service. So if you have some more nominations, so get onto the Facebook right now and then hop off. So that'll be a good thing. Well, today is a very special day. When I hosted a Mother's Day panel in May, and I thought, Father's Day is coming up, and it's such a great idea to have a Father's Day panel as well. So we're going to do that today because I just believe that it's a good thing to do, to hear and glean from, you know, different fathers in the house. And I think we all have, they all have something to say. So I think that's going to be a good thing to hear from them. So why don't we get all the dads up on stage, and it'll be... So all the dads come up and get on stage, and we're going to just start the panel. Why don't you give them all a hand this morning? We have six dads today. I'm just going to make sure that I can get up on this thing. You know, we could have picked all of you dads, right? But we've sort of picked some incredible and amazing dads today that would have something that want to share with you. So we've got Colin Harper, we've got Pastor Tony, we've got Theo, we've got Pastor Daryl, Lloyd and Josh. So it's going to be a great day of... questioning. You know, it's such an honour for me to do this, and I know I'm not a man. That's quite obvious, but but I think it's just good to have our lead pastor sit and be on the hot seat today. I think there's some, you know, it'll be a different perspective of you seeing him preach, obviously, but you know, it's also an honour for me to do this. So, so let's get going. Hey, so tell me, talk to me. Who's had a good Father's Day so far? Like Father's Day morning, did you get breakfast in bed? You know, what did you get? Yeah, good morning. Like you can speak. What did you get?
Oh, I went to McDonald's.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Macca's is always good.
Mine's been good. Hello, Warren. Yeah, good so far. I received a text message, haven't read yet, from my one daughter. Missed phone call for my son. Catch you later. But we're going out, we're having dinner tonight for a catch-up. So ours is evening. Yeah.
That's good. Pastor Daryl, what'd you get?
I'm still waiting for breakfast.
Should have gone to McDonald's.
I will be having something after church today.
Yes. Yeah. Josh, would you...
Yeah, much the same. I had a coffee this morning, which was good here at church, but we kind of did ours a bit yesterday. I have the greatest Father's Day gift ever. I have all three of my kids, their faces are like on my sock.
Aww.
It's pretty cool. So a bunch of food and all that. So yeah, it's very cool. Very cool.
Brilliant, brilliant. Who else?
Cool. I woke up to an empty house. Cheryl's working today in her nursing practicum, an early shift, and so I woke up to quietness, and it was good, it was real good. And I had a piccolo for breakfast when I came here. Was what I had for Father's Day.
You know, it's It's not unusual to have, like, because we all serve in whatever ways, and I know a lot of dads are serving even on Father's Day today, so I want to acknowledge that. But for us, yeah, Father's Day, you just do what you do, you know, and that's what I love about these men. They just do what they do. Doesn't matter what day it is, they just do. And, you know, one of the kids said to me, "Mum, we have Mother's Day, we have Father's Day. When's Kids Day?"
Every day.
And I'm thinking, no, hello, it's every day. It's every day. So I wanted to start and preface this panel by saying that, you know, no one comes from a perfect family. No matter how good it looks, you know, everybody has a story to tell. And I'm sure if I've given you the microphone today, you have a story to tell. And sometimes those stories never get told. And, you know, the thing is, we're all broken. And I love the scripture where it says, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There is no one righteous, no, not one, no matter how good it looks. Okay? One of my favorite scriptures is in Psalm 68:5, where it says, "He is a God to the fatherless, defender of the widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places, listen to this, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." And I really want to preface the fact that, you know, God places the lonely in families. So whatever situation you are in today, you know, whatever form that may be like for you, thank you for being in the house of God.
Yeah.
This is the Father's house, and there's no other love that you would feel and the unconditional love that what the Father God gives. And that is such an amazing thing to have. Okay, so let's introduce you guys. I want you to introduce yourself, because I will not be able to do justice if I do that. So I want you to tell the people who you are, give a brief description, how many kids you have, and a brief description on your relationship with your dad. So, Colin, why don't you start?
My name's Colin, obviously. I grew up in a family with, I've got two brothers and one sister. We're all concreters, except for my sister. She's a bricklayer. She's a nurse, my sister. I have four kids of my own. I have two sons and two daughters. And, that's pretty much it, pretty basic. So.
What's your dad? What's your brief description about your dad?
Dad is also a concreter. So when we all left school, Dad made us go to work with him and start concreting and taught us the ways of the concrete industry and whatnot. Dad was a pretty tough man, pretty hard man. Didn't become a Christian until I was in my early teens, so a lot of my earlier life was growing up around heaps of alcohol and heaps of stuff that probably shouldn't have been happening, but it wasn't. I don't really look back. It was a bad time. It was a learning stuff. So, yeah, a lot of good came out of that time. So, yeah, it was just different.
Okay, Tony?
My name is Tony. I have three adult children, Danielle, Rebecca, and Jared. I have six grandchildren, three that live in Queensland and three that live in Victoria. So, big family. Relationship with my dad's in heaven. He went to heaven last year, 17 months ago. I miss him incredibly and love him and honour him. And I miss just having conversation with him and being able to call him. But I'm comforted by the thought that he's in heaven. He's home. And I had an amazing relationship with my dad. My dad was a hard-working, hard-living man. He became a Christian when I was 16 years of age. So like Colin, our home was filled with a lot of alcohol,
a lot of gambling,
and all the kind of activity that went around that. And then my dad had an amazing transformation when he gave his heart to the Lord, and never touched alcohol again, never bet on a racehorse again. I used to bet on my dad in the pubs in Gladstone, where we came from. They had a standing bet for 10 years that he'd come back. Well, he never did. He never did go back. So Dad was much loved by our family, and he was an honourable man. He was just a real man, and he was a man's man. He was 6'3" and a half. And he just loved people, and he loved family above everything else, and I treasured him very, very much.
Great, thanks. Theo.
My name's Theo. I've got two daughters. One's Mia and the other one's Elena. She's working today, so that's why she's not here. About me, I'm like Colin. I'm a barber. My dad was a barber. Same thing. Got into it after school. And I worked with my dad for 10 years. We worked together through the 90s, and then he retired. And I still have a close relationship with my father. I actually stopped in there and saw him this morning, and we're going out for dinner tonight. And, yeah, he was the same. Tough upbringing, tough father, like, you know, which instilled a lot of good work ethics in me, so which I, in turn I've done to my daughter. So, yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. We've got a concreter, we've got a barber. Just as well you don't have a son, otherwise there'll be a barber as well.
No barbers. No.
Hey, you could be a barber still, Mia. Like, hey, I heard that you've got a really great voice. No. I might get you to sing a little thing later, eh?
I'll leave that to... I don't want to show you up, TJ, it's all right.
No. Pastor Darrell, what...
You've already mentioned my name. My name's Daryl. I've come from a family of six, two adults, four kids. I am one of those middle children. So,
middle child.
I am left out. No, we were a very loving family. Dad was always, being a plumber, he was out every day doing the hard yards, working hard for our family. But he would always make that little bit of time on a Friday afternoon to come home with a 50-cent bag of lollies for each one of us. So we sat down and watched TV. That was our treat for the week. And that was just something special. I have myself two beautiful, one handsome child. And I love them dearly as well. So, yeah. It's great. And memories of my dad, he's passed on now about 4 years ago now, I think it is. And just remembering the values that he put into our lives, it was very important that he passed on the love of God, of what he's learned, of being having a relationship with God, passing that on to us so we can pass that on to our children.
It's great. It's great. It's such an honour to... you'd be on the hot seat as well, being I'm related to you. So, yes.
I'm under the microscope, but now.
Lloyd.
Okay, I'm Lloyd. I'm the eldest in my family. I've got a younger brother and a sister. Three adult children, 35, 33 and 26. I think I got that right.
Well done.
I checked that this morning. So always get wrong. Yeah, and we have two grandchildren on the way. Both daughters on pregnant, so that's great. And, our son moved to Melbourne to go down there last year, so he's been in lockdown and having fun down there. Our other daughter moved to Sydney, but she escaped back to here, so she's here now. So that's all good. What have we got? Father's relationship. Yeah, so growing up in our family, we had the old family in our house. We didn't discuss two things, and you know what they were? Politics and religion. And so I come from a family, no church background at all. So dad still doesn't, but you know, we do what we do. We love him and work with it. And from my dad, similar to what Pastor Tony was saying, he was a hard worker. Memories would be leave to go to work when the sun went up and come home when the sun went down. Mm-hmm. But very hard worker, provided well for the family. Myself, I would say not a real close relationship like it would be, but that's what it is. But yeah, the love is there, and he just, I would say, a man of few words. So you know he loves you, but yeah, if I go, I love you, Daddy. So he doesn't do that, that's okay.
That's good.
My name's Josh. I am the father of three kids. Who would have thought? I have a daughter that is nearly 6 months. That's gone so fast. That's Ariella. Grayson is 18 months and Ezekiel is 5. I am currently on break from studying full time. We took a trip ice skating and Tamara decided to fall over and break her wrist. So I've been helping her out, caring for family, but we'll be back to uni soon, and then also one day a week here at church running kids and youth and a couple of other things. My relationship with my dad, I come from a very split and blended family. So I'm an only child, but I have two stepbrothers, two stepsisters, and a half-sister. So big extended family. So the dynamic was very different. I was the only child in my extended family for like 10 years until Zach was born. That's Daryl's beautiful son. And so, yeah, and then all of a sudden there's this massive influx of kids. Mum and Dad separated when I was 5, 6, 7, somewhere around there. So very much what you were saying, Pastor Marichelle, about family was so important, where my dad was, you know, someone that I saw once a fortnight, to very much the church being my family, and the church raising me and the people speaking on stage raising me. So 100%, I'm the biggest endorser that, you know, get your kids in church, get your kids in church, get your kids in church. Because, you know, what we do here, what Pastor Tony does, what Pastor Marichelle, Pastor Daryl, us in kids, us at youth, what we're doing is helping you. And as a parent, parents, dads, we need all the help we can get in raising kids in a good, godly way. So I'm so thankful for the church. As I mentioned before, you know, Pastor Tony's known me pretty much all of high school and young adulthood. And having that relationship definitely filled the void, I guess, through circumstances that the relationship I had with my dad.
That's great.
You know, Dad and I talk all the time. We're, you know, we're good. We're best mates. We talk about life, footy, and all that sort of stuff. But it's good. But yeah, it was definitely rough. And had it not been for the church, I definitely wouldn't be sitting here today.
That's good. Thanks for sharing, guys. And your mum's here. Your mum's here, and she's setting up the creche, right? Or so, you know.
She's in the back there looking after my youngest. Hey, Mum.
Okay.
I love you, Mum. Single mums don't get enough credit.
Hats to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, thank you for sharing a little bit about who you are. It just gives you an insight of who these amazing dads are, and not just dads, but men. That are really, you know, just, we've got some trades, we've got concrete, a plumber, we've got barber, you know, so it's just all hard working, come from a very hard working family. So I just want to start this panel, as before we get into the really helpful stuff, just want to lay the platform. What this is about is, tell me, we want to hear the most, what's the most embarrassing fathering story that you have?
Start with that one. I've got heaps of them. Dad loved watching us play football. Both my brothers and myself, we played heaps of football through the years in cricket. Dad would always come to our games and always abuse the referees, abuse the other players, to the point one time we're playing, the referee actually had to stop the game and say, if that guy doesn't leave the game, I'm going to call the whole game off. So Dad just shut up and go away, and that's probably one of the... not probably the most embarrassing, but it's up there. So,
yeah,
but just passionate. He loved watching us play football and was proud of us. So.
Who else?
I think embarrassing. I remember when my youngest daughter, she said, I've got this guy. And so I'm going to meet him. And come home to meet him. So I thought, what can I do? So I threatened. I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn up in an Iron Man onesie. So I did. So when he came to the door, he opened the door, I said, hi, I'm Bethany's dad. In a onesie. So that was so good.
On you, Lordy.
Oh,
we're still together, so it's all right. It's okay.
Only you, Lloyd. Only you, hey?
That's so good.
Who else has got one?
I'm not embarrassing, so it's all right.
Oh, no, I can't think of any, man.
Oh, you got one. Sorry?
Oh, it's coming from the stage.
This is good.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get arrested at the netball carnival. I was taken away and questioned. It was just a miscommunication, that's all. They didn't really hear what I said properly, that's all. When I explained it to them, they let me go. And they went to chase real criminals. So that's all good. I did forget about that one. Thank you.
That's great. So... what we want to do now is to tap into the wisdom of these dads. And ultimately, God is our Heavenly Father. And you know, all across this room and even online today, I know that some of you have taken the role of being a father figure for some and a mentor. And so I acknowledge that today, as I prefaced before. But so hopefully today, out of all the things that these dads are going to say, that we can all glean and lean from, and from their wisdom, and that you can take away. So I'm going to ask some sporadic questions, and I'm just going to throw it out there, rapid fire. So make your answer just succinct. So what is the one lesson that you learnt being a dad? Lloyd, I want to ask you this.
Three things. Patience, and patience.
Very good. Very
I
good.
Think being, yeah, just being a dad, being a parent, it's from when they're born, when they're growing, things they're doing, just having that patience to let them do things, to let them do what they do, knowing that you've got to let the reins go a bit.
Yep.
And just let them be who they are.
Fantastic.
Myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think patience, I mean, if I had been patient that day at the netball carnival, we wouldn't have an issue. So that's what it taught me, patience. Yeah.
Mia, why are you cringing? Oh. Colin?
I think patience, obviously, and letting your kids fail. Just let them make their mistakes, but always be there to support them and back them up when they've made those mistakes, because that's the only way they're going to learn. So.
Yep. Tony?
I think loving no matter what.
Yep.
No matter what the circumstance, the situation, no matter what they've done, where they find themselves, that they'd always know that you love them.
Great. Josh?
There's always tomorrow. You know, from a blended and split family, you know, whatever mistakes were made, but even with me, you know, dads cop a bad rap sometimes, and there's a lot of pressure on us. And whether that's from external, we put pressure on ourselves. And one thing that I've learned is there's always tomorrow. If you stuff up today, that's okay. You got tomorrow.
Mm. Yep.
You know, your kids do bounce most of the time. But they're resilient, you know. We don't give our kids enough credit, you know, that they are resilient. If you make a mistake, get down on their level, apologise, try again tomorrow, you know, and laugh. Got to laugh.
It's good.
Yeah.
Daryl?
Well, from my experience, it's the pause. Mm. Stopping before you react.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
because
good.
You've been there, you've done that, they haven't.
Yeah. Mm.
So they're going to be looking for what reaction you're going to have.
Yeah.
And if you give them your focus and you reply in the form of love, that is the most valuable lesson you could teach them. Is to, and they will pass that on. But yeah, pause before
pause.
We react.
It's good. It's good. While you're on the microphone, I want to ask you, what are your top priorities as a dad?
Top priorities as a dad is always stop and take time for your kids. You only get them for a limited period of time on your own with them in your home. Before they venture off and start their own life. Always take time, even if... And time is also talking to them, but being connected to them.
Mm.
As you can be in a room, you can be doing something, you could be saying you're listening, but are you listening?
Mm.
Focus on them. Focus on them. Hear them and value the things that they say, because they're looking to you as their mentor. They're looking to you as their dad, their superhero, and someone for the guidance of where they're going. So that's one. Love is a massive, massive thing. Always shower them with love. Don't spoil them with love, but shower with them in love. And one last one would be just be in their corner no matter what. The thing is, with making a mistake, it is a mistake because it probably had a good intention. It just didn't come out the way it was supposed to.
Good, good wisdom. Theo, what's your top priority as a dad?
I think loving them and showing them that, you know, they can make mistakes and they can learn from that and letting them learn from it. So I think that's the best thing you can do because, I mean, there's no rule book on bringing them up. You've just got to do it the way you see it. And what we've learned from our fathers is normally what we tend to reflect on bringing up our own children. So, just trying to learn from different ways of handling situations. I'd say.
It's
probably the best way to say it. So.
Excellent. Colin, you have 4 adult children?
Yeah.
Yes. So how do you stay relevant? I mean, you know, they're teens, you know, they're from young. Like, what do you do practically that helps you stay relevant?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me this question, because when you sent it to me, I thought, I don't really know how to stay relevant. I just try and...
Get TikTok.
It's what? Yeah, that's something I won't do. I don't know, just staying relevant, just obviously times are different to when we grew up, but just listening to what they've got to say and always being there for them, regardless of their decisions they may make, because quite often they might make a wrong decision or whatever, and the path they may take might be wrong, but I guess just staying relevant and just always being there for them and being prepared to listen and not really doing research, but finding out what they're into and what they're interested in and stuff like
That's
that.
That's great. So. That's good. No, awesome. Noreen, Pastor Tony, which season of fathering did you enjoy the most?
I think I enjoy the one I'm in now the most. And I say that because when I was a young father and just with the responsibilities of what I had in church world and church life, so much of my time was here. Not in this church, but in a previous church. And so much was invested in the lives of other people. And I never found that balance easy to maintain as a young father. It seemed like I was owned by everybody else, and expectations upon me were just hard to navigate as a young man trying to be a minister and trying to be a father and trying to be good at all and probably not succeeding at any of them. Whereas this season of life, I find it much easier for me to know my lane and to work out where my time investments and commitments are and the things that are ultra valuable to me. So I really enjoy being a father now. You never stop being a father. I thought that would finish, by the way, when they left home, but that was just the beginning, and it continues on and on and on and on, and I like that. I like the relationship that I have with my children much more now is in this season. I understand it is, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
That's great. So what is... your biggest regret or heartache in your fathering journey?
Yeah, that's a massive question. My biggest regret or heartache over the years of being a father was that you can't always be there to protect your children from the things that life will bring their way. If you could protect them from it, you would, but there's some things you just can't protect them from, be it people, be it a relationship, be it a life circumstance, be it an accident, because everything within you is in the heart of a father wants to protect. And there's nothing that a father wouldn't do to protect their children. And so when you see your children growing up in their teenage years, and maybe it's getting bullied at school, maybe it's having an accident. One of my daughters had a car accident. To get that phone call, it's just a really devastating thing to see the relationship accidents that happen in life. And you know, sometimes as a father, you just want to step in and tidy it all up and control it all, or sort this out or sort that person out. And I've done a bit of that. And, you know, I think my biggest regret was that I couldn't stop those things happening. That was my biggest regret in being a father. But the flip side of that was that I did everything I could. I did everything I could, and I continue to do that.
Must say you're very proactive in even in your grandchildren. You've got 6, and you know you're just proactive all the time. And you know, I see that and I hear that. And so, you know, would you say that your scariest moment would be the one when you? What would be your scariest moment? You mentioned about some car accident, but what would be your scariest moment as a dad?
Yeah, I think probably the car accident that Rebecca was involved in was on the way home from church. She's our middle child. She's the super confident one. She's the one that knows everything before she's told it. And she's the one that, you know, when they introduced the 100 hours training for you to get your license, that she didn't need dad to train her for 100 hours. She had this little window of opportunity to get her license before that law was introduced, and so she rushed getting her license, and you just knew it was an accident waiting to happen, literally, and it was. And she's coming home from church, and we arrived home from church. We've got lunch cooked. We had special guests around for lunch. Then all of a sudden we get the phone call that Rebecca's involved in an accident on the way home. And just driving there and not knowing the full extent of what you're going to walk into, and then seeing the car. And when you see the car and it was a write-off, it was an absolute mess. She turned in front of a four-wheel drive and it ran up and over a bonnet and really messed her up, the car, considerably. And then just to hold her in that moment, and you know, the car's a car, it's replaceable. But I did have a few tears for the car as I was hugging her, because I'm thinking, I'm the one paying for that, you know. So I had a few tears for that, but I just held her that little bit tighter, as I have all my children when they've gone through their moments in life. So yeah,
that's good. No, that's good. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, so I want to ask this question of Lloyd. You have adult children, correct?
Sorry?
You have adult children?
Yes.
And remembering the first time where you meet your prospective suitor for your daughters, what are some of the things that show up on your daddy radar?
On my daddy radar?
Yeah, as you were meeting this, a future suitor for your daughters.
Where do you start? Where is he? Good stock? Is he? Where's he come from? I think for me, it's like putting. What goes through my mind is what we've instilled into our children growing up, that they're going to make the right decision, because they're doing it. That's their thing. But I think it's always in myself. It's, have we done enough? You know, we've trained them the best we could. We've trained up the child the way they should go. Hope that they don't stray from it, but we hope that what we have put in there, that they will do it, maintain it, and yeah, go from there. I suppose it's been a couple of times now. Our first daughter, she was married earlier, but she got divorced, and that was one of those tough times. Mm. And I suppose similar to what Tony said there, what could you have done? But you're there for them,
yeah.
Regardless, that's what you do. But yeah, you're there and you just encourage them, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Theo, what's your what comes up on your daddy radar?
Well, where do I start? Firstly, they need to have hair.
Wow, sorry.
Which one?
On their chin. No, I think. I think basically I look for respect and manners, pretty much.
Yeah. So yeah.
If they're respectful and they've got manners, that's a good start. So.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, that's about it.
That's great.
The hair's okay. So. One less haircut I've got to do. So.
That's good. Josh, being the youngest dad on the panel, and obviously you are now our kids pastor and our youth director, and along with your amazing wife, Tamara, and as you mentioned, you also are a father of three children, very young children, and you mentioned that you're also a uni student, you work here one day a week. You know, life is full for you. Life is very full. How do you handle this full life, and what practical things you do to make sure life works?
I don't handle it, to be honest. You know what, It comes down to communication. I know that's so cliche, but it's just that, it's communication. Making sure that everyone in the household is on the same page. Everyone knows what they're doing. You know, it's just like an organization or a church. You know, if everyone knows their role, knows what they're doing, then, you know, fingers crossed, it'll run smoothly. If it doesn't go to plan, that's okay. And that was a massive thing for both Tamara and I. We're both a little bit of control freaks. So when things don't go a certain way, Tamara goes quiet and hides, and I flip tables. It's just, thanks, Dad. No, we learnt that, hey, laugh about it, move on. As far as practical goes, you know, we got like four calendars on our fridge. We got meal plans, we got what Ezekiel's doing at school, what day's Grayson at daycare.
when my uni stuff's on, what I need to do, you know, plan, plan, plan. But, you know, that's all well and good. We can all plan. But when things, the key is when things don't go to plan, have a laugh about it, have some chocolate, have some ice cream, move on. You got tomorrow, you know. The saying around the office, you know, still going to be there tomorrow. You know, do it tomorrow. Don't put so much pressure on yourself that I have to get this done, I have to get this done, mate. It's okay. Yeah.
That's great.
Laugh about it if things don't go to plan.
Yeah. That's good, Josh. I remember when you first became a dad, right? So what was the biggest challenge of that being a dad has been to date for you? Like, what's your biggest piece of encouragement or advice for the dads to be?
Just laugh. Like, seriously, just laugh. There's not enough. Like I said it before, you know, sometimes dads cop a hard rap and there's pressure. Just laugh. All right? Your newborn baby does an explosion poo that looks like an atomic bomb and their white onesie is now yellow. Just laugh. Pick them up, jump in the shower with them, hose it all off, use soap. You know, but laugh about it. These are memories where when you're 80, you're going to laugh about. You know, like seriously, what is, you know, what's the use of getting upset about something that's out of your control? You know, your baby's 3 months, it's out of their control. You know, laugh about it and make a memory out of it. You know, that's one thing that I'm still learning as well, is make a memory out of it. You know, make it a teachable moment, you know, where Ezekiel's in school, Grayson's kind of, you know, he's in that turning from like a baby toddler to a young boy. And, you know, make the teaching moments a special moment, a fun moment, rather than getting angry and, you know, Dad, I got to do this, let's go, we've got 50 million things on, I'm late for uni, whatever, you know, you're missing the bus or, you know, just slow down, laugh about it and make it a fun, enjoyable moment.
That's good. Thanks. Pastor Darrell, you've been our kids' pastor pastor of 25 years and, well, not in this church, but various in kids' ministry. You've done that. You've done kids' ministry. And I think, I don't know if you've known Pastor Darrell, even though he's retired now in that sense, kids still flock to him. No, I'm just saying that kids still flock to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think Pastor Tony would be able to attest to this. Like, everywhere he goes, he'll always have kids around him. And I'm thinking, we should have had more kids. But he said no. So I want to ask, what would you say to every dad in the house and online from your perspective as a long-term kids pastor and father?
Well, just to point out here on the panel too, I actually used to teach Josh when he was this big in kids ministry.
Wow.
So Josh is kind of the fruits of what I have been doing.
Don't know if that's a good example.
Well, as much as I can put into it. It's like, as a kids pastor, so you don't necessarily get to see the fruit of what you've done, the seeds that you've sown. You don't necessarily get to see that.
That's right.
Yeah. But I've had the joy of just some of the kids I've been able to teach here at Impact, watching them grow, watching them do the journey. And as a kids pastor, you do have to be relatable in the sense that when they're the young ones, you're there to teach them. As they get up to the mature ages, in the teenagers, you're doing the journey beside them. And as they get into be an adult, you're there behind them, supporting them. Right. So, and then when you're grandparents, you're trying to catch up. So, but it is bringing fun into it, bringing God into the situation. I emphasise strongly that all dads get as much God time with your kids. Get that Bible out, quiet time before bed, every night, as much as I can. I'm praying with the kids before they go to sleep because I want them to know God as much as I do.
Yeah.
And the calling I had on my life And it's like, I didn't ask for that. Yep. It's like God just dumped it on me in a sense. That's why it's like I could be sitting at a park bench somewhere and all of a sudden this kid's smiling at me. I'm going, stay away. People might think something.
Yeah.
But I know that's a God gift given.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just imparting that, the love of God, a father's heart into father of kids, because I came across so many kids that come from blended families, come from families without a parent because of some situation or something that's happened that they haven't got them with them. And you're there to be their supporting role as a father figure, a godly father figure, with the heart of God,
yep.
And bringing that to them. So, fatherhood can come in many shapes and forms.
Yeah.
Mm. And if I can encourage, obviously there's a lot of dads in here and also father role models in this house. If you see someone that you want to just put your arm around them and take them on in your wings and actually just, you don't have to be a biological dad, but find someone and mentor them in that way, because you have a lot to give.
Yeah.
You're not just, as I spoke about, God is the fatherless generation too, but I just want to encourage, if you see a young person, you put your arm around them and just really get to know them and spend time with them and, take them under your wings. And I think that's some of the things that you have done during the years of kids ministry, right?
And I think too, on that, like, obviously generations are different. Like, social media has just gone absolutely nuts. The key to young people these days is just to be real. You don't necessarily need to be relevant, just be real, and you'll have a best friend.
Yeah, it's good. You have a season in your life whereby you became a single dad and now have a blended family. And, can you tell us what's your biggest challenge? What were your biggest challenge were, and how did you navigate that season?
Probably the biggest thing was when I did separate from Zach's mum. You feel like an absolute failure, that you couldn't keep the unit together. You feel like you failed as a father because you weren't providing that home environment. But knowing that you're doing your best,
yep.
You're trying, you're trying your hardest. And always, no matter what, you're just there to show up for them.
Yep.
In everything that they do, just be. You don't have to talk to them, you just got to sit there and listen. Because realising they're going through the same pain as you are, that their family unit is not what you planned it to be or you were hoping it was going to be, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying before, mistakes are mistakes. They're not always intended to work that way. It's what you do afterwards that counts.
Yeah.
And just being there for your kids, showing up for your kids. I was always showing up to his soccer games, supporting him from the sidelines and everything he did, even to the point where he chose his own pathway and moved out. That was hard. But I knew that through all things, God is in it. And it's like we were saying before, teach them when they're young, God will do the rest.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really proud of him now for the decisions he's making and that he's come back to God. And one of the biggest moments I cherish the most having the opportunity to be able to baptise him.
Yeah.
That's a very special moment.
Yeah.
Can we give Pastor Darrell a big hand?
Yeah.
No, that was a very tough question. You didn't know that was coming. But, can I just say, you're an incredible dad.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't often sort of say that enough, but, preface to all this, you're an amazing father. You're not just, at home, with the girls and everything. And, I see that all the time. I know I'm the tough one in the home, but dad is the patient one and the loving one. Yeah. So, you know, he takes over when I get my cranky pants on. But, you know, you are an incredible father, and I just honour you today for that. That's great. So is this helping anybody at all? Are you enjoying this? You know, there's some nuggets and wisdoms here as well. And, you know, I'm glad that you're able to just do that. Now, I want to ask, so we've talked about that that scripture where it's train a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Pastor Tony, can you tell me the hope we, or you as dad, can cling into that scripture?
The hope.
The hope in that scripture for dads that maybe their children are not away.
The hope of that scripture is that nothing you ever do is wasted in terms of the investment you make in the lives of your children, whether they're teenagers or young adults. It's never wasted. It's a seed. Now, the thing about a seed is you don't get to determine when the harvest comes. That's in the hand of our Heavenly Father, and you leave it with Him. I think the whole comparison thing is really awkward for Christian families when, you know, someone appears to have the model Christian family, as you might perceive it, and someone or you may not. Don't get into that comparison thing. Your journey is your journey. That's your journey. It's not their journey. And you've just got to appreciate and respect your own journey and trust the investment you've made in your kids. One of the principles that I've lived by is that my children's journey is their journey.
Yeah.
It's their journey. It's not my journey, it's their journey. I'm there to steer them the best I can to find their own genuine, authentic relationship with God. They don't inherit that from me. They see the example of it, but they get to make their own choices in life. And so it's understanding that don't take a verse like that and use it against your child or against your family or even against God. Why are they not? Their moment will come. Their moment will come.
Yeah.
And I just believe very expansively in the grace of God in terms of that. So that would be my best advice on that verse.
That's good. Just changing a little bit of a tune here. You know, we live in a world where it's confusing for kids. We have the gender identification issues and influences. How do you maintain your fatherly influence above other voices?
You just make sure that relationally you're very much connected to your kids. When they were growing up, I want to know who they were hanging around with, who the voices were, who the friends were, and kind of filter that. I mean, I have a very unique set of skills, and I knew where they lived, and you take care of things as a father in terms of that. So you're watching, and you're making sure that your values are speaking louder than the values of others, because they get so messed up, even in Christian schools, more so in Christian schools.
Yeah.
They get messed up, and you can't rely on the education system, the educators, to provide that environment. It's through the little snippets every day of your investments that happen in real time as a father. So just be a big voice in their world. Be a big voice, a loving voice, a supporting voice, a correcting voice. Don't hesitate to use your voice and lead.
Yeah.
Lead. Right. Fathers and mothers adults in the family, and we're there to lead. I have very, very strong views about parent-centered parenting, that we make sure that we lead with the authority that God has placed on our lives rather than letting children lead us and letting children lead themselves. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. If you don't know that yet, go and have a few kids. And you've got to help develop that and bring it to maturity.
That's good. Just a couple more questions and we'll wrap it up. But I really want to ask this question. And, you know, mental health is a big issue for everyone. Sometimes it's not spoken about. And, you know, as a counsellor, I see that often, that it's like a taboo. You don't talk about that, especially for men. And, you know, so as I look around, we all have hardworking, you know, fathers here and also online and everything like that. But I want to ask you, dads, and anyone can just, you know, answer this. How do you take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, socially, and physically?
Jump in, boys.
We talk about accountability too, you know, and it's a good thing to have.
I think it's important to have hobbies, like if it's gym or if it's, you know, training, running, walking, doing. It's important to have something to outside.
Do?
Well, at gym, I go to the gym. I like to do other things like investments and stuff, and just to keep my mind active. We won't talk about what it is, but but yeah, just to keep my mind active and keep it, you know, just to keep relevant, everything, just to be online and just learn things and just to keep teaching yourself different things. That's basically.
That's good.
You know, because I mean, we all get stale, we all get in the same rut, and then, but you know, there's always more to learn in life in general. So, so just keep learning, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I like the I said hobbies. So I've got a group of mates. We get together once a week and we do a fitness workout and then talk for about half an hour just about God stuff, like just what's going on in our lives. And it's been, we've only been doing that for a bit over a year, but it's been a massive help for me with just dealing with stress and families and stuff. And there's times I'll be coming home from work and I just do not want to do this tonight. And then once I've done it, I just say, yeah, man, that was so good. It really helps.
And you feel the better for it, right?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Definitely feel better for it. And Kirstine will tell you I feel better for it too. Like, not so cranky and stressed. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, it's good to have that kind of outlet for men because, you know, they're hard work at work all the time and then they've got to provide for their family and then you just got to do your dharma. But I think it's important, especially with mental health, like, you know, that you don't isolate but you connect and you find something that makes you light up. Lloyd, what do you do?
I play tennis once a week. That's my little outlet, so I get out there and run around, which is good, and try to do a bit of fitness stuff. But what I was going to say was it's good surrounding yourself with people, but I think that for myself, the challenge, you can surround yourself, but be willing to open up and to be honest.
Yeah.
Because for myself, my personality would be to not say anything. So it's quite easy. It's a question, how you doing? I'm okay. But it's not. Yeah, it's that digging a bit deeper.
Mm.
So it's. I think it is good to have those people around, but yeah, be willing to help let those people in and to be honest.
Good.
To be honest, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Myself, yeah.
I've been told that men have few words to say and they just look at each other and grunt and that's it. You know that's basically their communication language. Tony, you work so hard and diligently overseas, and so what do you do to wind down? Help yourself.
I guess for me, I live on a property, 3.5 acres, so caring for that, I love doing that, just getting on the ride-on mower and I just zone out and just love doing that, caring for the property. I was up until a few months ago painting my house and decided I'd had enough of that and got TJ to come and finish the job off and do an amazing job. So I enjoy doing things like that to kind of just help get my head in a good place. I love hanging with my friends and going out for dinner. Love food. Food's good. And I have friends that I've been friends with for decades. Pastors and that I speak to every week. We're great mates. It's very real, the connection that we have. I also love to pursue new things like ideas and learning things and developing business and things like that. So I retrained myself several years ago to be a professional coach. And I do that now. I'm in the process of developing, taking that online, the digital world, and that excites me. That gets my head in a good place because it's something away from this. I need something away from this with what I do, and that also helps people. And I'm not Pastor Tony there. I'm Coach Tony, and I love that thought and that role and what develops with that. So it's kind of a mixture of things that help me relax. And then other times I just sit there in front of the TV and stare at it. And even that's pretty good.
You don't fall asleep in front of TV, do you?
No.
Yeah, that's good. And it's important for men to do that. I mean, girls, they just do whatever. I know for me, I just go shopping and whatever, and I'm good. Or cooking. That's my outlet. And that's why my husband can't diet. But anyway, that's another question.
You're saying I'm fat.
No, I didn't say that. Okay. we'll wrap it up now, but I just want to ask one question to all of you. Tell me, what is your greatest memory of your dad?
My own dad. I've got two memories that really stand out. One, obviously, before I became a Christian, excessive alcohol and whatnot, but he would always come and watch us play sport. And he wasn't a terribly affectionate man, but we knew he loved us because he was always there watching us play sport, would take us to sport, drive us around everywhere. That really stands out to me. And my other memory is, once again, before I became a Christian, one Christmas Eve, Dad bought us all push bikes, all four of us kids, and put them all together while he was a bit under the weather, had a few drinks. The next morning, we'd open up all our presents and start riding our push bikes around, and pedals were falling off, seats were falling off. I remember going over a jump and my handlebars fell off, and just good memory. Like, just growing up, good memories. So.
That's good. How about you, Tony?
I think my greatest memory with Dad also is a sporting one. My dad was an amazing sportsman. He was a great tennis player and cricket player. And in Gladstone, sport was everything. There was nothing else to do. So it was just sport, sport, sport. And I grew up as a young boy playing cricket. I was captain of a Queensland cricket team and as a youngster. And then I made it into the A-grade team that Dad was in and playing with him. And I remember one day we were batting together. So just to be batting with your dad in A-grade, and it's just such a thrill to see him in action at the other end and be batting with him and have sorry. And that was pretty cool, and that really stands out to me, and I love that memory.
Theo?
Yeah, I think mine is always remembering my dad. Like every time he went over, now I go over, but when I was a kid it was always Greek music and Greek food, cooking Greek food, and it culminating in 2019, before COVID hit, we went to Greece together. So we spent a month together in Greece. So to be able to see his home island and to see where his father's buried, well, that was really good. So, yeah, that's a good, great memory.
Des?
Mine was, because being a plumber, he was always working, so on the school holidays we'd go out and I'd be out there helping with him. So he'd be teaching me his skill, even though I didn't follow it, but he was teaching me. And just that bond you can have just being there working together and doing things together. But one memory I remember that was really funny that he had, he actually said it to Marichelle, and it was his form of finding out if it's a stamp of approval, is if you're willing to do his overalls, you're a good catch. At the time I was working as a mechanic, so totally covered in grease every time. And they were needing to be washed.
And I still wash his overalls.
For myself, my dad, as I said, he was meant a few words, but Mum would always like flowers. He said, "What do I want to buy flowers for? They'll just die." And he'd say, "I told you I love her when I married you. You know, what if I could tell you again for?" But anyway, so they got to their 50th wedding anniversary. And the awesome thing I remember, because he didn't show much, but he organised a surprise party for her, and we had a mock ceremony which Leanne did and all this sort of thing. But it's just good to see that, just to come round and to show that bit of love.
Josh?
My greatest memory with my dad is all around him teaching me stuff and just our worlds kind of coming together. Like I said, you know, there's a big portion of my childhood where I'd see him, you know, every second weekend. There was a few years there he'd be living in Sydney or Perth with work, so I wouldn't see him for a while. But you know, my dad taught me how to swim by taking my floaties off and throwing me in the pool. He taught me how to ride a bike by taking my training wheels off, putting me on it at the top of a grass hill and pushing me down. Hey, I learned how to ride a bike and learned how to swim. You know, he was a DJ as a second job. He used to take me on jobs with him. Just the intentionality was the greatest memory that I had with my dad, that the time I had with him, the intentionality, even if it's just sitting down playing Cool Borders on the PlayStation or Need for Speed on the PlayStation or going for a swim or sticking my head out the sunroof doing 60 kilometres an hour. Mum, you didn't hear that. Just intentionality and having fun with my dad.
That's great. Yeah. You know, I asked that question intentionally because, as you can see from their answers, that those memories have a lasting impact on their memory, you know. And as a dad, like, just encourage you that I think we need to create those memories with our children too. Mm-hmm. And as dads, you won't always get it right, but the most important here is that you're trying not to be perfect but present. Present in certain moments and keystones in their life, because it creates that long-lasting impact in our kids, which forms of them. I just want to read you a scripture. It comes in Deuteronomy 6, and we'll finish up. This is what it says here. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And I think that scripture really tells us that, you know, you can't be a dad just be on a Sunday, but a dad every day, that teach them the value and the principles of God. And I think it's what that saying goes, monkey see, monkey do. Yep. So it's, I'm not calling you guys monkeys, but I'm just saying that, you know, you model what you essentially want them to do, whether they're that high or this high or that high. They see what you do and they will copy it. And I just think that that's an important. So can we give these men, God-fearing men, I hope that really helps you guys. And just one last thing, one question. What would you want your kids to say to you, Colin?
To say of you,
yeah.
I would love them to say that I've taught them work ethic and honesty and compassion for people. If they said that to me, I'd be over the moon. So.
Yeah. Tony?
That they miss me.
That's good.
Same as Colin. Same as, just that I taught them work ethic and they, and manners and respect. So, yeah.
That's good. Daryl?
I had an awesome dad.
That they love me. Mm.
Thank you.
That's good. That's awesome. Well, I want to show you, if you look into that screen, what your kids have said about you. Which screen?
Happy Father's Day. I just want to say a special happy Father's Day to my dad, Colin. I hope you're all having a fantastic day, though. And I just wanted to say a special thank you for everything that you do. We love you and we love your generosity that you've taught all of us, from Dom, Nick, Renee and I. And I just wanted to say thank you for everything you show us and teach us. And thank you for showing me the beautiful sport of rugby league. I'm sorry that I'm better at tipping than you, but thank you for everything that you do. And we love you from the bottom of our hearts. Happy Father's Day.
Hi, happy Father's Day. I wanted to drop in with a quick video to say a special happy Father's Day to my dad, Colin. I'm sorry that I can't be there today, but I wanted to let you know that I love you. We all love you so much and appreciate everything you do for us. And I love how you are continuously showing up for me, whether you are changing my tyre for the third time in a row after I hit yet another curb, or answering my phone calls from Cairns to tell me how to change a light bulb, or opening every single picture I send you every time I cook a steak. I love you so much and I appreciate everything you do for us, and I admire your strength and your faith and just everything about you, and wanted to make sure that you know that, especially today. Love you.
Happy Father's Day!
Hi Dad, I just wanted to say happy Father's Day and thank you for being the Luke Skywalker to my Rey. And that I hope you have a really good day spending time with us, and that you will be spoiled with cards and love.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. Thanks for everything you've done. Obviously, looked after me, made me the man I am today, and I'm grateful to have you in my life. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Love you heaps. Happy Father's Day.
Hey Dad, so thank you for being a great dad and letting us do whatever we want and buying stuff for us that we want, but yeah, and that you have a great Father's Day with all of us spending as a family, and yeah.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. Have
a great
day.
Hey Dad.
Hi Dad.
aka Mr. Sleepy Lloyd, and soon to be Paul. Love you so much. So we wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, Dad. We just wanted to say a few things that sum up our dad. He is one of the most loyal people we know. He's always, you know, sticking to his word, and we've been taught the value of that. He's also one of the funniest people we know. We've definitely got our sense of humour from him, and whether we wanted to or not, we've had to laugh at all his jokes. But he actually is really funny. But most importantly, above all of that, is actually that he has taught us what it means to love the Lord and to stay close to the Father's heart. So for that, we are forever thankful for this life and for eternity. And we're also so thankful that we're going to have a granddad like you for these little guys.
Yeah.
So we love you so much. Yeah. And again, happy Father's Day. Dad, I'm just popping on here to show my love and appreciation for you, and obviously happy Father's Day. Thank you for always supporting me in no matter what happens in life. Thank you so much for your generosity towards other people, towards me, and thank you so much for putting our family first. No matter what happens, you're always for our family, and you love us so much. So thank you for being you. We love you, and have a good Father's Day. Love you.
Hi Dad, just want to say happy Father's Day. I really appreciate all the life advice you give me, even if I don't always take it. And all the cooking you do for me. You're the best cook in Brisbane, period. And I love you so much. Have a good day.
Hey Dad, happy Father's Day. Proud of everything you do and love you lots. Thanks for being my biggest supporter.
Hi Dad, happy Father's Day. Thank you for being an amazing dad. And thank you for being my rock and being my friend and being an amazing role model for my children. We love you heaps.
Happy Father's Day, Grandad. We love you.
Love you.
We love you, Grandad. Grandad. Hi, Father's out there. Happy Father's Day.
What do you love about your dad?
I love about my dad. He watches TV. He's so funny. He's the best dad ever.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Love you, Dad.
Love you, Dad.
Grayson, do you love Daddy?
Ariella,
do you love your daddy?
Yes.
Do you love your daddy?
Oh, my God.
Well, how good is that, eh? Well, how amazing. Children tell it how it is, and it's just amazing to see those videos, and I'm sure you didn't expect that today, but I just wanted to have that, give that to you. And so thank you so much for being with us this morning. We have our hospitality, but I want to just get Pastor Tony, the father of the house, just a final word today, and we'll head off and have hospitality.
Well, big thank you to Pastor Mara Shaw for hosting today. Yeah. Give her a big hand. All the boys on their stools today did a great job. Outstanding hearing their stories. Give them a big hand. Great job, guys. I've really appreciated today because I didn't have to speak and I could just enjoy the day. And I think it's been helpful and fun and just helps everyone in the house. I want to say thank you to all the dads. And, you know, today is a day that it's a challenge for some. It's a little bit of heartache and pain for others and a little bit of grief. And all kinds of emotions happen on Father's Day. And I just want to say to all the men, regardless of whether you are currently a father or yet to become a father or maybe that will never be where life will take you. I just want to say that God's hand is very much on your life and your world, and you're a very important part of our church. We love and respect, we admire and honor the men within our church. The role you play, you have an influence even in areas you don't understand you have an influence. I want you to know there's little eyes watching you all the time. And that, you know, there are mums in the room that don't have a husband in their house, and they very much, their children just need men that are just good, real men, authentic men that love God with all of their heart, that will just be around their world in different ways. And so you being in this community, you being in these gatherings, you being in a connect group, you being at family days that we'll have, fun in the park days, pretty important. really is, and you're very much needed and valued. So God bless you today. I just pray you find some moments today to celebrate with the people that love you and are special to you. Thank you very much for being with us today. I know we've gone a little bit over time today. But we're going to put some food in your belly. I think we've got some treats out there for the dads, haven't we, Pastor Marichelle? You want to talk about that? You got hospitality happening.
Yeah, we've got hot dogs and drinks for all the dads and free coffee if they want to. And then, cafe's still open. And don't go. We're going to do the raffle straight away because I know most of you's probably got some lunch organisations. But, yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Great. Can I just close in prayer? Can I do that? Are we finished? Are we,
yes.
We done? Thank you. Why don't we all stand to our feet? We're just going to close in prayer and thank the Lord for today and pray God's blessing on every one of us. Father, we thank you for the moments we've spent in your house today. These moments are so precious, they're so special, and particularly on a day like today. Bless all the dads. All the dads in the room, all the dads online today, those that are participating, we pray that we would stop to reflect and enjoy the moments that you give us, which only seem like a short moment, to father our children, our families, Father. May your blessing be upon us all. On us all in the room today, mums, dads, children, grandparents, single, married, male, female, I think I've included everybody, be blessed. That's my prayer today in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. God bless you. Enjoy your day. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy your little. Thank you.